Analysis of dogs culled in New South Wales over the past 16 years has revealed something interesting, that around one quarter are in fact pure dingo, not wild dogs. The animals were culled by landholders and wildlife managers under legally authorised wild dog control programs, but researchers at the University of New South Wales say the results have big implications for dingo conservation. And they bust the myth that the dingo is all but extinct in southeastern Australia. Greg Borschman has this.
Is it a dingo or a wild dog? And does it really matter? After all, what's in a name?
If it looks like a dingo and it acts like a dingo and it's mostly dingo DNA, then it's a dingo.
Dr. Kylie Cairns is a conservation geneticist at the University of New South Wales.
This term wild dog is misleading because it implies that there are no dingoes left. Dingoes are a native species, and there's been this long-held perception that there are no dingoes left in New South Wales and that only wild dogs remain.
According to analysis of wild dog DNA samples from across Australia collated by the Invasive Species Council, there are few pure dingoes left in New South Wales and Victoria, less than 1%. Kylie Cairns calls that a myth.
The significance of this work is that we found that there are 1 in 4 of the animals that we tested were pure dingoes. So pure dingoes are not extinct from New South Wales. And that's been the myth, so we've busted the myth.
In addition, most of the dogs tested were more than three-quarters dingo. Kylie Cairns is basing her claims on 16 years of research doing DNA ancestry testing of the skin tissue from the ear tips of 783 dingoes and wild dogs culled in New South Wales.
We found 3 hotspots where there were more high-purity dingoes, and these were near Washpool National Park, north of Port Macquarie, and in the Myall Lakes area in northeastern New South Wales.
So what needs to happen in those areas?
I think there needs to be a stronger emphasis on conservation in these areas and better managing the balance between the damage that dingoes can do to farmers as well as the need to preserve them.
But that's something already happening, according to the man who runs the National Wild Dog Control Program.
We've known about particularly that dingo population around the Port Macquarie area for some time, and we've actually developed wild dog management plans in those locations to actually protect those pure populations of dingoes rather than allowing the introgression or the crossbreeding between the domestic dogs with some of those rarer populations of dogs in isolated patches.
Greg Mifsud is the National Wild Dog Management Coordinator. He helps plan the culling, trapping, shooting and poisoning of dingoes and wild dogs across Australia. Greg Mifsud says that the program is actually helping dingo conservation.
We've got plenty of landscape out there where wild dogs, dingoes are living and persisting and breeding and doing their thing as they've always done. In fact, in some places we could have way more than what was been there naturally because we've improved availability for water, we've improved prey availability with kangaroo numbers, we've improved livestock. So we could actually have way more.
You mean more dingoes in the landscape?
Absolutely, yeah.
Greg Mifsud says that in those hotspot areas in New South Wales, the culling program only operates on the perimeter of state public lands where the pure dingoes are concentrated. He says the dingoes inside those crown lands are protected, but he does admit that about 25% of the dogs killed by the control program are pure dingo, not wild dog.
That's 25% of the dingoes that walk into a control program. That's not 25% of the dingoes that occur in an entire location. You're referring to the 25% of the dingoes that were identified in this study that occurred within state lands, public areas. We're not talking about going in there and controlling all of those dogs. We're only talking about controlling the ones to come to the edge of that public land and are moving out of that area to cause impacts on livestock.
Greg Mifsud says that he doesn't know how many dingoes there are in Australia and that no one is counting.
No, we don't. I mean, and at the end of the day, this is part of the problem that, you know, unless we go and genetically test every single dog that's out there, we're never going to really know. So it's not something we count. It's certainly not something that we are concerned about in terms of the number of dogs. We're worried about reducing the impact of the dogs that are there.
In addition, Greg Mifsud says that there's no national tally of how many dingoes are culled every year in Australia, but he doubts that it would be tens of thousands.
No, probably not. No, I don't think it's tens of thousands at all.
What's your best guess?
No, I'm not going to go there, Greg. We don't. Like I said, we don't do guesses. We look at reductions in stock losses, and impact is our main criteria for the development of a management plan. It's not a cricket school mentality.
Dingo conservation is, if you'll excuse the pun, a dog's breakfast. And it all comes back to dingo researcher Kylie Kansas' point about the importance of the name. Legally, the dingo is a native species and protected in most states. But wild dogs aren't. Landholders have a responsibility to prevent their spread and, as far as possible, eradicate them. Federally, dingoes are not listed as a threatened species. But nominations to list the dingo under national environment law were lodged in 2010, 2011, 2012, 2016 and 2017. Kylie Cairns says that the nominations failed because population data for dingoes and dingo dog hybrids is limited, insufficient to assess whether past, current and future rates of decline meet the thresholds required for protection. So, as it stands today, the conservation of the dingo is officially in the too hard basket. A spokesman for the Environment Minister, Susan Lee, told Breakfast that the dingo is currently listed for, quote, possible assessment, unquote, as a threatened species. But that didn't mean the listing would be approved. In a written response, the Minister's spokesman said,
"The Department is following developments in dingo research. It would consider these findings if an assessment for listing of the dingo as a threatened species were to be progressed in the future."
The dog-like marsupial, the Tasmanian tiger, disappeared from the Australian mainland at least 2,000 years ago. The last known living specimen in Tasmania died at the Hobart Zoo in 1936. Geneticist Kylie Cairns worries that if we don't get the name right, the dingo could go the same way.
It doesn't make any difference whether it's called a wild dog or a dingo in terms of the management implications to farmers, but in terms of conservation, it does matter because at the moment they're all just lumped together and there's no focus on making sure that we are conserving dingoes. And it increases the risk that dingoes will go the way of the thylacine and become extinct.
That report from Greg Borschman. The report was ended by conservation geneticist Dr. Kylie Cairns from the University of New South Wales.